What's Trending?
Well, number one on What's Trending, we are live at training camp day number one. We'll be up here throughout camp as the Chiefs get set for this 2025 season. Of course, our training camp coverage here on the show is brought to you by Break Time, America's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. The headline, if you will, out of today is certainly that Josh Simmons, Chiefs top draft pick, working with the ones at left tackle today. Jalen Moore,
big deal,
their offseason acquisition to potentially be a left tackle as well, was working with the ones as a right tackle. That, of course, is also because Juwan Taylor is on the pup list. Christian Fulton on the pup list. That means that Jalen Watson was the number two corner today, along with Trent McDuffie as the one. Those are the notes really to come out of camp. Day number one, still no pads, just a season ticket holder day. We'll see much bigger crowds as the week goes on.
Next up on What's Trending, the Royals took game one in Chicago against the Cubs last night, 12-4, behind a two-home run game from Salvador Perez, an opposite field home run from Cags, and home in his hometown ballpark, John Rave, who also went deep in the game. Obviously, Noah Cameron, who we didn't talk a ton about today because we've spent a lot of time talking about him in general. We'll talk more about Salvi later. Noah Cameron, in a weird way, that's one of the most encouraging starts he's made all year, because anytime you go up against the second-best offense in baseball, get lit up for an inning, but follow it up with four consecutive scoreless innings to make sure the Royals can make the comeback. Really blown away by him. It'll be Rich Hill on the mound.
Yes.
A.K.A. Dick Mountain.
Yeah.
We'll be pitching for Kansas City as they try to get game two. You can hear that game right here on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Also, your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Look, the Rich Hill outing, it's either going to be a disaster quick
or
we're going to be like, wow. This is amazing. This guy's doing this at 45 years old or whatever. But yes, I'm more intrigued tonight because Rich Hill is on the bump. Not that it's a great thing that he's having to pitch, but it is what it is. The Royals, of course, last night, plenty of offense, which was nice to see. Elsewhere in the NFL, the Bengals defensive end Trey Hendrickson will not be reporting to training camp today. He, of course, wants a brand new deal. They still also are waiting for their top draft pick, Shamar Stewart, to get a deal. Those are a couple players unhappy heading into camp. Elsewhere in the NFL, you got Terry McLaurin, who I don't know if he has shown up yet to Commanders camp. He wants a brand new deal, veteran wide receiver that's been just a complete pro, and now wants to be compensated. The problem is he's over 30, so will they do that? Those are a couple of the players that are not happy with deals. Micah Parsons, add him to the mix too.
Trey Hendrickson, according to Adam Schefter, his issue is that the other two guys who've been paid a defensive end big-time money this year have been guaranteed 3 years. And according to reports, they're only willing to guarantee one at the moment for Trey
Hendrickson. It's ridiculous.
I imagine that is
ridiculous
that they'll only guarantee him one, or
yes,
that Trey Hendrickson wants more than one.
Okay. No, yeah.
I'm assuming it's something to do with the fact that they paid a couple of wide receivers this offseason.
You think? Yeah, no doubt. Lastly on What's Trending, this is really cool that you might have seen on social media. The station just announced it, but the Chiefs Radio Network is adding a new voice, the new pregame and postgame show host for the Chiefs Radio Network is none other than Joshua Briscoe. He'll be joining us also weekly on this show and all the shows throughout the station on 96.5 The Fan. So congratulations
to
Briscoe. And going to be awesome to have a new feel as well for the Chiefs pre- and post-game show, part of the Chiefs Radio Network and its 100-plus affiliates across the region.
Who did Briscoe have to bribe to get that job?
Oh,
jeez.
If everybody knows, Josh and I have known each other forever.
Wow, so congrats to Briscoe.
So congrats to Josh.
That is What's Trending.
I figure it's funny here, to come in hot.
Here on Cody and Gold. Don't forget, though, if you're looking for lunch back in the KC area, 3rd Street Social is part of the Summit Hospitality Group, the official taco partner of Cody and Gold. Boy, oh boy, I wish we had some tacos right now. I'm starving, man. I'm starving. Anyway, three locations, Northland.
Yeah, Plane instead.
Thank you. Lee Summit.
Oh, it's back.
South Plaza.
Yes.
3rd Street Social. Any of those locations have $2.50 tacos starting at 3 o'clock. Head on over to 3rd Street Social.
All right, you wanna split something? When I was not that long ago, okay, I was with somebody who has one of those bug salt guns. Let's get one of those for the wasps, dude.
I know what those are, yeah.
Let's get one of those salt guns for the wasps and start taking them out.
My friend has one
here
at their lake house, so they use it on the patio. They just sit there and
Yeah, let's get one of those, man.
I know it. I know. I did bring – look, it's warm. It's getting warmer. It's not terrible yet. I did bring you a brand new one. I gave you one last year, Cam. A frog tog, man.
What a guy. Look at this.
The towels, these will come in handy at some point during – I don't need it yet. You got to pour a little water on it so it gets activated. But, yeah, we have those again. Today, you know what? Today's the – this will
– Are you really here to tell me it's not hot? Or just not as hot as you thought it was going to be today.
Yeah, I mentally prepared myself for, like, literally being on the surface of the sun, and it's not. It's not the surface of the sun yet.
Hot,
oh, it's – yeah, we're sweating, but, like, trust me, this is not the worst day we've had a show.
No.
And this is not going to be the worst, unfortunately. The breeze is helping. If it was right this every single day, I would sign up for it.
I think what it was is that yesterday cooled down just enough that today didn't start as hot.
Okay,
when we get up here at 8:30 and it's already miserably hot that you run into the issue. So I kind of agree. I was anticipating. Now, I'm going to take a shower the second I get home.
That's just an immediate need.
And I can't, Drew, as much as I want to just be like, what if I was just a shower when I got home and then didn't shower in the morning and just waited to shut
down?
I can't.
I need
a shower to start the day. I don't like getting
into
any
me
kind
up.
Of day.
It wakes
I need
me
a shower.
Up,
every I shower at almost the same time every morning, even on the weekend. I don't wait to shower till like noon on the weekends either. When I am awake, I am taking a shower and the day has begun.
Yeah, the routine got thrown off a little today because obviously we're got a little further drive than we normally would as well.
I just think you started earlier, though, but not later.
I am kind of surprised, though, Cody, that more people didn't text in when you were when you guys were you know, the ad about Centric. You mentioned that it's so hot out there that you would be switching jobs as soon as possible. I thought somebody would text in and say that they're out there grinding every single day in the heat.
Well, they could have a new career thanks to Centric
in
IT. They could be sitting their ass inside comfortably.
Maybe they like it, though. I don't
with
know.
That new, you know, Russ would be – I think Russ coming into a fan club pretty soon. Russ would be happy to help him out, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The video stream is up and running still, even though we're out of the cameras, because we have a permanent setup in studio these days. For all the shows, you can just look at our figurines. But we are live at training camp, and we will be broadcasting here throughout camp. We got another 10 shows will be up here. Not tomorrow, do the Royals baseball in a short show, but we will be back up here on Thursday. So if you're going to be at camp, stop by our tent and say hello. We'll get to some camp questions. Drew has worked up some camp questions. He'll have these each and every day for us. We'll get to that in about 6 minutes or so. But we were talking earlier about just the pressure and the feel heading, and we asked Trent McDuffie about it as well, compared to a year ago.
Well, obviously they're motivated to revenge the loss in the Super Bowl last year. But the more I thought about it, this is the least pressure the team has had going into the camp in 5 years. They were coming off a Super Bowl loss in which they only had win, and they definitely couldn't risk. Like Cincinnati, it felt like they'd caught up to them going into a camp. Coach, you're like, oh no. And they'd only had one Super Bowl with Mahomes, we didn't know. The following year, they go into a camp in which they're defending Super Bowl champs. That comes with some heat. Then back-to-back champs, that comes with even extra heat. You're trying to be the first team to three-peat. You got all these players returning. Everyone is coming for you. The Super Bowl loss this time, because you got three in your pocket. You lost a game. It happens. But the dynasty stuff, that was also the problem with last year, is you had to complete a dynasty so that you could be considered that, and people didn't question it or put up some nonsense roadblock or whatever stuff people try to do. So those all felt, like I told you earlier, you were at DEFCON 1. It was every day was the end of the world, and you came into camp feeling like it. This year, Gold, I'm not saying we're all just like kicking, it's not a problem. I am saying that it is instead just a little less pressure than before.
Yeah, the gauge was in the red for sure, on the pressure gauge. It's still in the yellow or so, though. I mean, this is a team that has a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, it's always at three or four.
You know, this is a team that, as we were discussing with Drew earlier in the week, you know, this is Super Bowl or bust always with Mahomes and Andy and in this group together. I hear you that they're not, quote-unquote, chasing history the way they were last year.
That stuff's already established. You were a dynasty. You've won titles.
I also think nationally, because of the noise and how they looked in the Super Bowl, there's a lot of people that think that was kind of the end. I disagree, but there's a lot of people outside of Kansas City that think that's now a team that's extremely vulnerable. They've got a chance to change that very quickly, as we know. The first 2 weeks of the season, national television, Eagles, of course, and then in Brazil to open up the season against the Chargers on YouTube and everything. So it can change, and all of a sudden, it's right back there. I think for Mahomes individually, I could argue there's more pressure because people looked at his numbers and said, "Hey, you didn't have the type of year we're used to seeing you have." I think for Mahomes, maybe he could feel some of that. Like for individual, I know ultimately it's about winning a Super Bowl, but I could see where him numbers wise and all that, you could feel some more pressure to go out there and prove to people that you're still the best quarterback in football, because people will look at the stats for 1 year and say you're not. And I disagree with that, but I think that's reality. We asked Trent McDuffie earlier today when he joined us about the noise that's out there and proving some people wrong.
You know, since I've been drafted to the Chiefs, I feel like there's always been buzz about us. So, for one thing, I'm used to it. Another thing, I mean, let them talk. You know what I say? That's what I love. Let everybody else talk, and we just go in, do our business, and prove them wrong.
They can do it quick, man. They can do it real quick, and they look great. They look great in Brazil.
Yeah. Again, I'm not saying it can't ratchet back up. Because halfway through the season, if they've beaten Philadelphia and beaten the Chargers, and they're 7-1, they're 10-2, they're in first place in the AFC, getting ready to face the Bills. I'm not adding up the games really in my head. I don't know
the
games until they face the Bills.
You
get the idea. And all the juice is there again, and they look like the team to beat again. Sure, it all gets ratcheted back up. But it is kind of nice to go into a year. I was thinking about it as I was driving up, right? As you're thinking about, you're coming up to camp, and I feel like every camp's got a different question or different energy to it or a different big picture thing. And for some teams, it's like for the Titans, right? It's, is Cam Ward finally the answer? Sure hope so. Versus Mayo Boy down there in Tennessee. Sure hope we got the right one this time, right? And so every team has it. And for the last 3 years for the Chiefs, I've just felt like it's been better do the most amazing thing we've ever seen and accomplish something very few teams ever accomplish or else. And for once this year, because the dynasty's in hand, championships are in hand. I'm not saying there's always some.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like less. Less, man. Less than they've had to deal with over the last few years because of the other things that were built up into it.
Do you think the pending suspension for Rashee Rice, we all know it's coming. We don't know how long the suspension's going to be, but we all know it's coming.
Yes.
Do you think that will be used as this kind of built-in excuse, though, offensively, for the first month, let's say, if it's not good offensively, right? If they struggle
they'll
again.
Use that as a crutch.
Now, I will argue, any team take away their number one wide receiver, and you're not going to be the same offense. So is it an excuse or is it reality? But that'll be part of the narrative. Or on the flip side, if the offense looks great and they don't have Rashee Rice, and it already shows that they've improved from where they are, then you're thinking, wow, could this be the best offense in football? Like, that would be the alternative. If the first 3 weeks they look awesome offensively and they're pacing for a top five offense without Rice somehow,
then you're thinking best.
Then you're like, holy cow! And now it's game on to a whole other level.
If they're the number
I don't know
four
if that's going to happen,
offense,
but
if he misses four games and the number four scoring offense through four games of the season, and yeah. Reminder that in the first 6 weeks of the season. They faced the team who was number one in scoring defense, number two in scoring defense, number four in scoring defense. Like, the Chargers, the Eagles, the Broncos, these are some of the best scoring defenses in the league last year. So, like, if they do that against the teams who everyone respects defensively and Rashee Rice isn't on the team, well, then, yeah, we're going to be talking about, like, I don't know. I mean, at that point, I imagine you and I will be right, and so I'll be like, well, I guess I'll go ahead and pack my bags for California and get my ass ready for San Francisco because they're definitely going back again. Not that I don't think that in any given year anyway, knowing what we know about the Chiefs and their history of getting at the very least to overtime of the AFC Championship game. But, yeah, I think at that point we're talking a whole nother level.
Let's get to our camp questions each and every day. Drew's got a couple questions for us and for the text line around Chiefs camp.
All right, guys. Sorry about it. I was putting together podcasting
camp
stuff.
Questions.
All right. Camp questions. Yes.
Remember that? That's a throwback.
Yeah, yeah. This one's a little more jumpy.
Here we go.
I felt like I had to put some football music under it.
I like it.
So one of the things that I was thinking about is, you know, obviously we're looking at the left tackle. We're looking at left guard. We're looking at potentially the secondary now with Christian Fulton, wide receiver room with Rashee Rice's pending suspension. Are we overlooking the edge rusher spot? I know that they just brought in George Karloftis, but a question for you is the edge spot a top five position to watch at camp, given Gelati, Felix, and wanting to see his development, or are we not watching that one as much, or should we be?
Let's talk it out. Top five to watch. So left tackle and right, you know, basically the tackles I'll count as one position. That's definitely number one. Wide receiver, automatically, I don't care, every year is always going to be one people are watching. Running back is intriguing because the rookie Breshard Smith, that's three. Corner, Noel Williams is like that four. If it's in the top five, it's like fifth for me heading into the season because we do know about Amenihu. We already know what you're getting in Karloftis. Like Felix, I kind of think we have a decent idea who he is. And the rookies, we're mainly talking interior guys out of the rookie draft picks. So, I would say it's barely top five of a position I'm watching.
I'm not even sure it's that.
Yeah.
I care more about safety. You didn't even mention that because mm-hmm. this will be their first time doing without a veteran. I'm not saying, like, look, defensive line always
punter,
matters.
Is that higher for you? Punter,
no
Cody?
Way. No, punter's
you're going to put punter
please.
Higher on the list?
Please.
That'll rise a camp battle. Let's go.
Friend of the show? Oh, I mean, I did talk to him once while he took a job.
You didn't. I mean, I don't know if...
Friend of the show, is
you
that?
Didn't know.
Are you claiming
you
that?
You had to go over there because we didn't know who he was last
year.
Yeah,
that's tough to say. And then he never came on the show after that, so probably not a friend of the show.
Might be on the show this year. We'll see.
Maybe. You never know. Might get Matt Araiza. We've certainly had other punters before on this show at training camp. I think it's just outside, Drew. There are only so many positions. For it to be that far down tells you what I think about the other ones. That I think wide receiver and corner and safety and running back and some of these other ones that have consistently been at the list. I'm kind of with Gold. If it's in the top five, it's five.
All right, question number two for you. We heard the weather report from Cloudy with a Chance earlier in the show. But with this weather, how many water bottles are you guys going to go through at camp? I don't know what the over-under would
be. At camp total?
I mean, if we're talking total at camp, are we talking 70, 70 and a half?
11 shows.
I'm on bottle five today. It's
are you really?
12, 20.
That might be way over the 70 and a half.
I've had five bottles of water.
Yeah, you're pacing way ahead of me.
I think 70 and a half is a fair number.
Once
over under
this.
70 and a half.
I'll include the water jug I brought, and I'm not done with it. I'm at two water bottles two and a half.
Okay,
that's probably two bottles, so I guess you're through three.
Okay.
So we're halfway through the show, and there's basically been eight water bottles drank. So you guys are on pace for 100.
Eight times 11
over
100. 88.
Makes
sense. And this is not the hottest day yet.
Yeah.
Does it count when they get, like, lukewarm and I throw them away and I go get a colder one?
No.
Or is that like a half bottle?
I think you got to drink all of it, right? I don't know what yours counting here.
I think I'm talking full water bottles worth.
What happens is usually...
Well, probably at four because this they both got like a little less than half.
Okay. Yeah, you're combining the two. Okay, someone says Gold doesn't drink water unless it's Propel. I'll tell you this. If I had some Propel flavoring in these things, I'd be drinking them way quicker. This goes back to since I was a kid. I'm awful about staying hydrated. I ran into this when I played youth sports as a kid. I would always have problems. Did I tell you guys I went to the gym 2 weeks ago? I was at the gym on a Sunday, and I almost passed out.
No.
I didn't drink before. It was because I went out drinking the night before, and then I went to the gym. I got 11 o'clock on a Sunday.
I got lightheaded.
And I wasn't even on the treadmill long. I was fine there. Then I lifted some weights, got a nice workout in as I was – getting ready to walk out the door, I started getting very lightheaded. I had to sit down and grab have them bring me a Gatorade. Otherwise, I was going to pass out. It was like the light was getting bright kind of thing.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. I'm terrible about staying hydrated. I got to drink.
I'm glad
more.
You're okay. Obviously,
drink water more.
I'm better about drinking water when we're at work than I am when I'm at home. As you know, I probably fill up my water thing at work. That's like 32 ounces. Three times a show, probably, give or take. Alex is trying to Matrix dodge this wasp that was flying right by his face. Drew, I would set the over-under at...
Over 100, based on what you guys are saying, like 100?
I think I'd set it at like 90 and a half.
Okay.
Because there'll definitely be days it'll be less hot than this week that I will consume less overall. But this week's going to really ratchet the number up. Because Alex and I both said today is not as bad as we expect Thursday and Friday to be.
Mm. Yeah, but there's a lot of people listening that work out in this heat and actually are moving around every day. You and I are just sitting our asses in a chair. Some of these people out there are putting down tar and asphalt.
That's true. I am just sitting here, occasionally standing.
All right,
I like to take a walk. I like to get up and move around a little bit. I get sick of sitting here.
Yeah.
One final camp question for you. I think the answer is yes, based on social media, but was there a deep ball connection today?
Xavier Worthy on literally the first pass.
Maybe
pass two, I don't know.
Yeah.
That might be a question every day that is being asked. Was there a deep ball connection?
Yeah, him and then Rashee Rice was the most targeted by far, not even close.
Yeah.
And I know you're like, well, he's the number one wide receiver, of course. But it doesn't always work out that way at camp. Because at some point you get to it, you want to get a look at some guys further down the depth chart. It's day one. It's not like on day one Jalen Royals was going to be that guy. I know Worthy was also a first-round pick. Royals, of course, is not. So, yeah, Xavier Worthy, deep shot. But as we said, man, like, it's cool. It's fun. The fans enjoy it. The highlights are cool. But we saw it all of camp last year, so I think – it's okay to be skeptical and say, all right, show me that you guys have figured out the timing, spatial awareness in a regular season game, because we all know that just did not happen last year until the Super Bowl, really.
Push you around on a route yet. So
those are the three camp questions, boys.
Are some camp questions. We'll have them every day. We are up here in St. Joe. Now, someone was asking, because they're tuning in for the first time today, understandably so. They said, what did Drew say about the weather? Cloudy with a chance.
Oh,
yeah,
do we have our own report back up?
Yes, we have our own meteorologist this year at camp. So many of you asking about the weather, where I should be for autographs and all these things. We said, let's have an official meteorologist on the show. So each day that we're here, we will have a weather report. And just a reminder, this is the weather that the players were dealing with earlier today from Cloudy with a Chance.
With your training camp forecast, I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance. Another hot one today with sunny skies and a high of 98 degrees. Make sure you're staying hydrated out there, but it's a perfect day to watch some of the best athletes in the world show off the kind of athletic skill that Cody and Gold can only dream of having. Seriously, these guys could pull a hammy setting up their broadcast equipment. I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance for Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
So, yeah, I guess our meteorologist is going to take shots at us throughout camp. That's good to know. That's good
to know. I haven't pulled a hamstring, have you?
I have not, ever.
That's good. Almost passed out of the gym, though. That's not great. Caught with a chance point of a point.
That's because I didn't drink enough, you know?
Yeah, stay hydrated.
Or you drink too much.
Mm-mm.
You said it was a night of the bar before.
Too much
alcohol, didn't drink
not enough water.
Yeah, not water. Oh. No, but I wasn't like – so I just had a couple drinks the night before, and then I went to the gym at 11 a.m., and workout was going great. Now, the gym was also a little warm that day, and I felt I got a good workout. Normal workout that I would do, and then all of a sudden, I had to sit up against the wall for a second. And they came by, they're like, "Are you all right? Do we need to call an ambulance?" I'm not even kidding.
Call.
I said no.
Ambulance.
I said no. I go. I just need you to bring me a Gatorade, please, immediately. And then my lips weren't like pale anymore. It was bad. I was about to pass out.
Jeez. Yeah, you were. They threatened to call an ambulance.
I was like, "No, we're not calling an ambulance over
That's
this."
That's not great in our defense, of Cloudy with a
no.
Chance. It's not,
so thank you.
Fun of our
I blame
prowess.
Drew for the weather report. I feel like you're feeding our meteorologist information.
It's not Drew's voice. It's definitely not.
No, it's not Drew.
I can't believe people thought it was you, Gold, earlier today.
It's definitely not me. I can promise you, I'm not the meteorologist, Cloudy with a Chance. All right, up next, let's get to how the Chiefs roster stacks up according to one publication, plus the random question of the day as we continue broadcasting live from Chiefs camp. Cody and Gold back here live in St. Joe, day number one of training camp, and it's brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Here in about 30 minutes, you'll hear from Trey Smith, fresh off that mega deal, feeling good, but also I thought his audio today and his conversation with some of the media after practice was really, really cool to hear, frankly, right? He talked about his background and a promise that he made his mom when he was 15. I just thought it was very cool to hear.
Yes.
For someone that obviously fell in the draft because of a health issue. And at that point, I'm sure you question whether or not you're going to be in the league for a while and let alone get a deal that makes you the highest paid guard in football. So we'll play some of what Trey Smith had to say, plus our conversation exclusively with Trent McDuffie. That's coming up at 1 hour from now. But in the NFL, like, we view it more as roster construction. You know, they phrased it over at ESPN as projected starting lineups, but they were going through and saying, all right, top to bottom.
I just hear the Bulls PA announcer voice when you say, your starting lineups. I can't help it immediately, right?
It's the best intro ever in sports history. it is the best. There are times, I'm not even kidding.
Not to distract us, but when you said starting lineups, I immediately heard that guy's voice.
There are times where randomly I will YouTube Bulls intro, and it just because it's like Space Jam for me. I just want to, it's a feel good, pump you up kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I will watch the Bulls intro from the 90s with Michael Jordan and that team. Anyway, so the folks over at ESPN ranked out what they consider the top five, top 10 rosters in football. Starting lineup projections is how they phrased it. And I don't disagree with some of it. Like, the Chiefs should not be number one for this, and they're not. The Ravens were one. The Eagles were two. This is not saying who's going to win the Super Bowl, by the way. Three is Detroit. Four is Buffalo. Then Kansas City at five. And how about the Denver Broncos at six? And that's what's intriguing, because we know there's a lot of people looking at the Chiefs winning this AFC West for nine straight years and saying, all right, this is the year.
Bo Nix is going to get him, though. That's going to be the quarterback.
Well, you know my feeling on Bo Nix. I think his ceiling is low, and he's at it already, in my opinion. That's kind of like, he's going to be a pro for a long time. The biggest strength they listed for Denver at six was O-line, weakness, wide receiver. I don't disagree. For the Chiefs,
I agree with both of those.
They listed, of course, biggest strength, Patrick Mahomes.
Yes.
Weakness, offensive tackle. Yes. X-factor, Rashee Rice. And it's because of how many games he's going to miss. And he is still coming off a knee injury, although I will tell you, it's not pads or anything. He looks great, like, in terms of that question of is he healthy? Is he moving around like a number one? Is there any bit of favoring to what? No, he looks damn good in terms of going out here and being a number one wide receiver.
And look, I do think that I still think Xavier Worthy's more of an X factor than Rashee Rice. I think Rashee Rice's expected output at this point should be relatively known, just as long as you assume he's healed from the injury. I gotta be honest, I watch guys heal from those kinds of injuries in the NFL like all the time. So, like,
it's
that
far
part
more common now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just not the same as it was 20 years ago, and that might have ended someone's career or slowed him down to a point. Or if he was 30, I might be having a different conversation. He's not 30. He's in his early 20s or mid 20s. And I think you start looking at that early 20s, and I think you start looking at that. I don't overfear it from that end. The one thing I'll say is about when you start putting up roster to roster, and you're telling me their biggest weakness is not a weakness, but an unknown.
Well,
that's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, they've had five different left tackles. I think it's fair to say it's still listed in the weakness category.
But what I mean is, no, I do think it's fair to list it that way. But what I'm saying is that, like, it could change. For instance, the Broncos' biggest weakness being wide receiver. That's not changing. They're wide receivers or they're wide receivers, and they're not good.
Well, so I don't disagree, but I guess if you were in Denver, you would say, if I'm playing devil's advocate, you would say, just like
your rookie wide receiver,
well,
I guess.
Well, just like you were saying that, hey, if Josh Simmons is the real deal, then it's not a weakness anymore. They might be saying, what is it? Is it Patrick Bryant, I think, is the
number
three?
But come on. We got to admit that there's a huge difference there.
I don't disagree. I'm just telling you, we can't say, well, the Chiefs' weakness can become a strength and act like no other team's weakness can become a strength.
I mean, but theirs is a left tackle who they took, you know.
Or a wide receiver, yeah.
A wide receiver that, or no, the Chiefs is a tackle that they took in the first round.
Patrick Bryant over in Denver.
The Broncos, I guess they could say their running backs are better. Yeah, Pat Bryant, number 74 overall. Like, okay, fine. If they found the next Cooper Kupp, you're right. But, like, that's just a longer shot.
I agree.
The other part that stands out to me about this is more people nationally and from league-wide circles think it's the Chargers who are going to knock the Chiefs off. And think about their roster doesn't even belong in the top 10, in my opinion.
Yeah,
in the starting lineups of the NFL list, because their wide receivers are worse than Denver's somehow, even though they got the best one of the two teams.
The Chargers don't even come in
no pass rush.
In the
mediocre offensive
in the top 15.
They don't deserve
the Chargers are 16th. They list biggest strength, their tackle, Rashawn Slater.
Yeah,
they obviously
great.
Have Joe Alt. Biggest weakness is the interior of the defensive line, and they say the X factor is their corners. Cam Hart, Tareeb Still, and Dante Jackson. So they lost, as we know, Christian Fulton, who's in Kansas City, who's on the pup list right now.
Where are the Bills, you said?
The Bills were much higher.
One?
They were in the top five, yeah.
Okay.
The Bills
Ravens were in the top five?
The Bills were four. Ravens were one. Lions were three.
I'm asking about Eagles Cincinnati because for
Cincy
the same
was
reason,
nine.
For the same, that seems high.
They were
they do have a lot of wide receivers and the leading sack guy from last year. So
they were just above the Niners, who I do think still have a pretty good roster.
I do too.
The Vikings are 11. The wild card there, of course, is J.J. McCarthy. And then ahead of Cincinnati was L.A. That would be the Rams. And then Washington at seven.
I just like the more and more – this goes back to just my general feeling of who I think the top competitors are for the Chiefs in the AFC this year. But that's the tough part. If you're Cincinnati, you're saying three of the top five rosters in football are starting lineups, starting 22.
Yes, not 1 through 53.
Right, we're not going down to like – don't tell me that you got – like the Chiefs got better corner depth. That's not what we're talking about. This is 1 through 22. But if you're telling me 1 through 22, three of the top five teams are there, but you got to go down to ninth to find you. And honestly, part of Cincinnati's problem is – their issue hasn't been 1 through 22 a lot of times. Their issue has been, well, in the offensive line it has been. But then their issue has been, you got anybody behind that, you know? And so Kansas City, and this is where I give them a lot of credit. Like, I'm okay with them being, and I don't think they have the best roster in football anyway, but I don't mind them being fifth on a list like that because very few teams have been able to cover their absences better than Kansas City. I do not think we can undersell the injury issues Kansas City went through last year. They had at times lost their starting running back, their backup running back, the third string running back, three of their top four wide receivers, a starting corner. Like, they had lost everybody at one point
last
year. They
won 15
games. Four left tackles. And, like, so for all the teams that are like, well, we don't have our starting guy, neither did they for a huge chunk of the season, and it didn't matter.
And we already talked about Cincinnati at nine and today not having Trey Hendrickson at camp and their number one pick, obviously, with trying to get contracts done for both of them as
Dude,
well.
Is Stewart going to not sign? I mean, this is crazy.
Well,
right?
Okay, you know what?
They're not going to actually
Drew,
not sign their first-round pick.
Drew, if you have the audio queued up, that's actually we can do that a little bit here if you want. So we know Hendrickson doesn't have a deal. Shamar Stewart doesn't have a deal. Yesterday, Mike Brown, the owner of Cincinnati, had a press conference, and he talked, you know, how he thinks Trey Hendrickson's deal is coming up soon, and they're going to get it done. But here's what he said about Shamar Stewart. And I got some thoughts on it. I'm sure you do as well, text line. Listen to what the owner of the Bengals had to say about the Shamar Stewart situation.
This one is surprising. I hesitate to get into the detail, but basically it turns on whether out years are guaranteed if he gets involved in conduct detrimental to football. Well, what does that mean? Detrimental to football in recent years has been violence to women. That's about the one that comes to mind. There are others probably, but that's the one that I think of. Well, if we get a player who gets involved in something like that or does something that is just unacceptable, guess what? I don't want to pay him. I really don't. If he's sitting in jail, I don't think I ought to be paying him. And so we say that if he got involved in conduct detrimental, we'd have the right to terminate the guaranteed part for the back years. He says, or his agent says, oh no, you can terminate the guaranteed part only for the remaining part of the year in which the event occurs.
Mike Brown, 89 years old, by the way, if you're wondering. So, look, I think in principle, yeah, nobody wants to pay somebody that's in jail, but you drafted the guy in the first round. You had
Maybe
your
just
opportunity.
Don't assume he's immediately going to go to jail.
You had a background check in your conversations and everything like that. If you were concerned that much, don't draft the guy. But also, I've never heard an owner publicly come out and basically say, yeah, we're worried about him going to jail. Oh, and
like, if he hits a woman, I don't want to have to pay him. And we're like, crazy. Well, yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also don't think you should want to pay him.
Holy
but also,
cow.
like to listen to him give that explanation, you're like, well, that I don't think Shamar Stewart's going to like that explanation.
In the clip, I think the first part of the clip was taken out, essentially, where, because I think some of this, a lot of people have the same concern where obviously, you know, I think the concern is his camp wants him to be covered if he does go to jail or any in that conversation. That's why
I understand, man, but that's
what like, that's why he said what he said. Essentially, is his agent wants him to be covered regardless of any of the
yes.
things that he does. Which I mean, if you're, I understand that you're, but do you feel like that's gonna happen? Like my first question would be, if you want him to be covered in that situation, again, you're looking after the client, but do you think he's gonna be in that position?
I mean, sure, but
like, are you going
to... But saying publicly out loud, I know you're saying the jail thing was in response to a question, but saying publicly, like, worried about things, let me think what comes to mind. Oh, you know, domestic violence. Like, just
yeah,
you're saying that as an owner, you
about
can...
It. He said, if that comes up, then I wouldn't want to pay him. He didn't say, I'm worried that he's going to do something. If anything, the agent requesting that makes it sound like the agent is concerned about his behavior.
See, I don't think that. I think as an agent and an NFL player... For the same reasons we talked about before, in the NFL, you are guaranteed about 3.5 years on average. You have to protect every nickel from the owners. They wouldn't guarantee a single thing for injury or anything else in between. If they had any say in it, everything would be year to year and nothing would be guaranteed. And the second you start giving up a guarantee for anything, honestly, for anything, you risk giving like the mouse a cookie and another guarantee goes away or anything else. I'm not saying... And as an agent, you got to say, look, I don't think he's going to get in any kind of trouble, but if he does, I'm going to make sure my guy's protected in case that's the case. And I understand Mike Brown saying, like, as a team, same thing. But I'd still point out there are players who got drafted after him who did not have this guarantee or does have this guarantee. And there's players who don't have the guarantee who are drafted after him. So it's not unreasonable for him to ask.
This is one of those circumstances, though, I think it's – and I can tell by Drew's response to it. And he's not – Cincinnati fans are totally now on the side of the owner and the team. Yeah. It's kind of
Correct.
Funny to me.
Correct. Oh, yeah, because I think this goes back. Todd McShay in April, I didn't even know this. Evidently, the Bengals either didn't hear it or they just ignored it and still drafted him anyways. But Todd McShay.
Either way, that's bad.
Correct. Yeah. But Todd McShay came out in April and said that, according to what he's been hearing, Shamar Stewart's agent was a problem for other teams so much so that he wouldn't show up for private workouts and he wouldn't schedule
right.
private workouts for Shamar. And this isn't just the Bengals. This is for other teams as well where his representation, and I think that's Mike Brown's comments as well as Duke Tobin, the GM, everything doesn't point, none of it points to Shamar. They think he's a great dude, but it's the agent and the representation that he's getting is giving him advice that is not what puts him in the best position to be successful and also technically to make the most money, because we're getting now to the rate of if he doesn't sign, he's going to have to wait a whole other year to go back to the draft. It sounds like he's not going to go play college again. If he does and he's not as good, he's not going to get drafted as high as 17. It just turns into a whole mess. And a lot of it comes back, it sounds like, based on reports from Todd McShay and what Mike Brown and the GM are saying, the agent and his representation is really not doing him any favors.
But, Drew, this goes back to the same thing, though, we just mentioned. This is inevitably the problem. The Cincinnati Bengals are a joke of a franchise and deserve no benefit of the doubt in this scenario. For the same reason, if Todd McShay knew that, how the hell did Cincinnati not know that and not take him 17th overall?
Oh, I'm not saying I would have picked him. I'm not defending the pick or anything like that, because I said on draft night I wouldn't have picked him. I'd have picked Mike Green or Derek Harmon, whoever it was. But they obviously are dealing with the consequences where maybe they need to make sure that they have, instead of just one or two people assigned to scouting, they have an entire room that is dedicated and all the resources need to find out more about these players, and particularly the agents and the representation that they have.
Look, I think everybody listening, we're all on the same page. Yeah, I mean, nobody thinks they should still get paid if they're behind bars and should keep their job. I understand that. Also, you know, someone texted in, 3 minutes ago and said, you guys act like if at your radio station, they don't tell you up front what the conduct policy is and what can get you fired. That's correct. But also in my job interview, after they decided to hire me, our boss did not say, you know, if you go and you beat up women and if you're behind, like they didn't go publicly into detail, let alone privately, into every little thing. Some of it is, of course, common sense of what you can and cannot do just, you know, as a person as well. But, like, I don't think there's a direct apples-to-apples comparison anyway, because, as we know, guys get arrested all the time and still play in the league. I mean, hell, we're talking about Rashee Rice. He's going to have to serve 30 days in jail. He's not going to lose a dime than the games that he's getting suspended.
I got to be honest. It's a team that drafted Joe Mixon, who on video, it's like all of a sudden, what, you're too high and mighty to pay out guarantees?
They gave
him two contracts, and he was a terrible person.
They have,
like, all of a sudden, it's an issue.
Well, I think it's an issue, evidently, if it happens under their watch, where Joe Mixon, I mean, as I understand the college thing, they looked past it for his freshman year
sure,
at Oklahoma.
Sure did.
But the question to me, guys, that I don't understand, I don't know how Mike Brown didn't ask this or how Duke Tobin didn't ask this. I'm sure it has been, I would assume.
Duke
but
Tobin.
If
that's an A.
If his agent wanted this to be a thing where, hey, if he goes to jail, I want him to be protected. What do you think he has why are you so over eager to protect him if he's going to be put in this situation where all signs point to him being a perfectly model citizen and he's a great dude and a great teammate and he, you know, has no issues? Why is that coming up from the agent side of things in such a hassle to get something signed? Like, do you think that he's got
my understanding?
If his
is,
representation thinks he has a character issue, he needs to rethink his representation.
Yeah. Right, but my understanding is, I also think, let's remember that just like the player can play the PR game, I also think Mike Brown knew exactly what he was doing yesterday. His agent, to me, I know we're making. I think his agent wants the same deal that everyone else got before the Bengals suddenly decided to change the language and the contract. That's also not being discussed enough, too. That's the other part that's happened.
He didn't have a problem paying players who were in trouble every year until now. He was fine to pay last year's first-round pick if he went to jail, and the year before's, and the year before that, and the year before that's first-round pick if they went to jail. But now he's drawing the line?
Reportedly, they opted to change the contract language regarding the voiding of guarantees.
Yeah.
And they used the old language in the new contracts when they just signed Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Then they draft Shamar Stewart, and all of a sudden they want to change the language. That's why this is an ongoing thing. Anyway, we spent too much time talking about Cincinnati there, but it is one of the bigger stories, especially when you have an owner flat-out come out and say that yesterday. But let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold. For you, Drew, over in the text line, 913-586-7965. We've got the video stream up. I'm still chatting with people over there as well. YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. Live stream the show on all three platforms. Like and subscribe over on YouTube for exclusive content over there as well. Of course, the random question today is brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. Let's talk about school and cell phones, because it turns out Missouri's making a big push, Gold, to get cell phones out of school, as in going through and getting closer to a cell phone ban that would exist for students on the Missouri side, as in, you know, either you got to put in the little holder thing if you've ever been to, like, a comedy show where they don't want their material out, or you just can't get it out in the premises, and then there's, you know, ramifications if you do, and you can get in trouble if you do it. So the question I have for you today is very simple. Do you think you would have been able to handle the responsibility of a cell phone all throughout high school at the level you use your phone today? I think it's important to know. Yeah. I did not get a cell phone until I was like 17 or 18 years old, and it was borrowed with somebody else, because I'm a little older than you guys. You guys had cell phones, but I guarantee you they were not as for you, Gold, they weren't as like prevalent as they are now.
Yeah,
as
not
an
here,
everyday
yeah.
accessory. You might have still, you might remember T9, for God's sakes.
Well, for sure.
So like things were a little bit different in that regard. Do you think they should ban cell phones in schools?
Yeah, so I don't have any kids, so this is like it's one of those. It's not something that I've like thought all that much about, but I did see
deep random question
that there was a survey that actually came out a week ago, I think, and 74% of U.S. adults now favor banning middle and high school students from using phones during class. That's up from 68% last fall. Support for full day bans is up, climbing from 36% to 44%, and then there's that of course means 46% of Americans oppose all day bans. 10% are unsure where they stand. I guess maybe I'm in the 10%. I don't know where I stand because I also know if I was a kid and I had a cell phone, I would of course hate the ban. As an adult now, I would say, yeah, I can't imagine being a teacher and having to deal with kids distracting and ruining the entire class experience. So by that regard, I would say, yes, I'm supportive of it.
I will say in a lot of cases, it's not the parents that actually want the ban. The parents are also guilty of texting their kids when they know they're in the middle of class. Like, don't text your kid when you know in the middle of the class. Know when their schedule is, know when their free time is, know when their study hall is. You want to shoot them a message during that time, we good. But, like, I'll be honest, I don't teach high school, I teach college. The cell phones in class suck. And I don't fight it, right? They're going to be on their cell phone, checking out Instagram. I just don't teach to those kids, right? It's on you to pay attention in class. And especially at the college level, Gold, my stance is, what am I going to do? Police a cell phone? If you don't want to learn the material, you're paying for it. Your cash, your money, cool. Public education, I feel like, is a little bit different, or private education in which either the state or the person is paying for it. It ain't you. I don't think it's all that bad to be like, look, you can't have your cell phone the whole time.
How are you getting, I mean, other than doing what you're saying, like
the
they have
to, cloth bags
how else
lock?
Do you enforce it? We've all been in like class before. Some kid's just going to be, he's going to have the phone down to his right, he's looking
man.
Up.
He can, is it going to do any good to put these kids in detention all the time for this stuff? It's not.
Either way, it's a massive distraction. I don't know. Is it a tough question? Because
can I lock him in a box in the front of the room? That's the only way to do it. I get a clear plastic box. I am allowed to put all the phones into the box and lock them securely. Because then if you do have an emergency, we can have a different conversation. You have an emergency.
Yeah, because what if you have a family member in a hospital and you need your parents need to be able to text you or whatever.
We talk through those one by one. And I think that's okay. You need to have a cell phone on you for that day because that thing might come up. We're good. No problem, but for every other kid, put it in the box. And at the end of class, I'll unlock it and you can grab your phone. But the problem is they don't like that either because then you get into theft problems.
Sure.
Gold goes to grab his phone, but he doesn't. He grabs,
yeah, how do you know who's,
he grabs his girlfriend's phone and he wants to go scrolling through to see if she's texting anybody. So, like, the cloth pouches are probably the way because at least it's still
yours.
But I don't know, man.
It's a tricky one. Drew, you have any thoughts on this one? This is tricky.
Yeah, don't.
If I was obviously a student, of course I would say, heck no, don't ban my phone. But as a parent and as a teacher, I would say totally. I understand, like, I have family members that are teachers. I would say, I bet you, now she teaches second grade, so you don't have to worry about that.
You sure? There are third graders with phones, man.
Well, she's in second grade
Desmond,
teaching.
Well, they Desmond's
have Apple
watches.
These kids have Apple watches and stuff.
Desmond's in kindergarten.
Grade.
One of his classmates has a cell phone.
That's wild. That's crazy.
So, like, I don't know what to say.
That's insane.
He is a kindergartner. He had not all of them.
That's insane.
But one of his classmates I know for a fact has a cell phone.
Yeah.
No, so, like, you don't stop at them. When are you stopping it?
Well, I was going to say, look, I don't think that they should have phones, period, at that age. But if they do have them, I don't think you – don't take the phones away. I think ultimately you just let the parents know, like, hey, by the way – they're not paying, as long as they're not a distraction, like they're on their
phone.
They
are, and I think, is a problem.
In terms
of paying
attention.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
that's
right?
Cody, I understand that they're not learning, but I don't know. I think there's level, I think there's a line where ultimately it's not my job to make you learn. Like it's not, as a third grade teacher, I don't think you are attached to go above and beyond to make sure that one kid is not getting distracted and on their phone. So
ooh,
if this was college
or high school, I would agree with you.
College,
hey,
if the kid doesn't want to work,
he's not
going to
work. I just tell kids to leave.
Let's say we're talking about elementary school. I actually do think there's more of a expectation for sure.
Yeah, but I don't. But there's, if you're paying too much attention trying to get one person to pay attention, then you're not teaching the lesson, which in turn is teaching to nobody learning. I think that ultimately you just have to be like, look, I'm going to bring it up to the parents, and this needs to be something that's fixed.
I don't know.
I just think ultimately it's not the teacher's job. If it gets so bad that they're just not paying attention and they're not listening to them, the teacher can't just not teach the lesson to try to get them to pay attention. I would think, like, because to me,
being a teacher's a tough gig.
Which is why I'm saying I don't think it should be the teacher's responsibility, because they need to get paid more, and they shouldn't have to.
Yeah, it's tough.
They shouldn't have to deal with it. Like, I feel bad for teachers. Like, to me, like, I had a cell phone when I was in sixth grade, and I would, I don't know, text with some friends or whatever, and ultimately you get like a warning. Otherwise, it's like, you can go if you want to. You don't need to be in class right now. I can teach the class without you. Like, I can teach this social studies class without you, Drew, if you don't want to put your phone away. You can go walk around the building and just walk around and text people if you want to.
Yeah, but
attention.
It's, you know, especially if it's, you know, if,
that's
if
what
it's
I was
fifth,
told.
If it's a fifth grade student at a public school, the entire semester, the student can't just be like, well, I guess you're just going to go to detention every single day and we're never going to teach you anything.
Yeah.
That's not, I mean, that's just not going
to
fly.
I think it would be great to just have, I think you should, kids can have the phones there, but I would just get like a bucket and just be like, hey guys, put your phones in the bucket. I guess that's the way that
but
I would
But as you pointed out, there's just multiple states now that have it as a law, though, so it's not to anybody at some point. With
some of
these. Anyway, all right, that's the random question of the day. We are way late for a break. Up next, we're going to hear from Trey Smith, fresh off a new contract extension as we are live in St. Joe.